Well, good morning.
It's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? I don't know, those weeks we had where we didn't see the sun, it was cloudy and foggy, just, I don't know, makes me appreciate these days even more. This morning we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, so if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. I think we're finally going to finish chapter 1 today, so we are moving through. It's a little, there's so much here, I don't want to move too fast, but I think we will finally finish this up. So we're going to be in verses 27 through 30 this morning. I wonder how many of you, and it's interesting to me how this ties into Sunday school, because what I want to talk about today was very much similar to what Denny taught this morning. How many of you have ever run across somebody, you just wonder, are they a believer? Just by how they act, or by how they respond, or things like that. Okay? I don't want to steal Denny's thunder, but he was, well, okay, I'm not going to steal your thunder. Who did you run into this week? Just a man, okay. Well, you don't know his name, but what did he do? Okay, just an act of kindness, okay? It was enough to go, I wonder if he's a believer or not. You ever come across people like this, you kind of wonder, are they a believer? Okay, I had, is it coming up? Okay, there we go. Perfect. There's this lady named Adele Arakawa. Now, I never met her at all. She was the news anchor for Channel 9 when we were in Denver back in the early 2000s. Just by listening to her on the news, I was like, is she a believer? I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the way she did it or how she did her reporting or something. But it just, over the 4 years we were there, I just kept wondering, is she a believer or not? Okay. I did some research, and I find out she loves to drive Ferraris, and even in her late 60s, she's racing cars, fast cars. It doesn't say anything about her spiritual history other than her first job was a TV radio host or TV radio host on a Christian radio station in Tennessee. So I don't know if she was a strong believer or not. But just being around or listening to her, I'm like, I just wonder, okay? Sometimes it's people we run into in the checkout counter, Walmart or Dillon. Sometimes it's a salesperson. Sometimes, you know, but you just kind of wonder, just based upon their actions, their attitudes, how they respond to you, what they offer, things like that. And it's, I think it's important because Paul in this passage tells us that there are ways to live a life worthy of the Lord, okay? And it's those ways that impact others, okay? So what does it take for us to be a person who when people meet us, they go, is he a believer? There's something different, okay? Hopefully they do that already, okay? But Paul gives us some wisdom here. So let's read Philippians chapter 1. Uh-oh. Yes, 27 to 30. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I have, and now hear that I still have. Now we have to remember here where the Philippians are, okay? If you remember from weeks ago, Philippi was this city that Caesar Augustus renamed and populated with former Roman soldiers. Okay, so this city is very, very loyal to the emperor. Okay? It's a special city for him. And so in this loyalty is this worship of the emperor as God. Okay? And worshiping of the values of the empire and the Roman gods and all of this. Okay? And into this, Paul preaches, and this little church starts. Okay? And this church is worshiping not Caesar, but the Lord. Okay? Doesn't value the things that Caesar and the Roman culture values. It values the things of Christ. And so you have this friction, okay? This competing value system here. And Paul is saying, there should be something about you that is so different that it causes the Romans to wonder, okay, or to question. And so what is that? And so his question really is, how do you live in a way that so your life is worthy of the gospel? Okay, we see this here in verse 27. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Okay? Now, the manner of life is how we carry ourselves. Okay, it's our daily reactions and interactions and just how we go about life, how we live life. Okay? That's what Paul's talking about. And he says it should be worthy of the gospel. It should reflect. It should be accurate to the gospel. Okay? And he gives us three ways, actually. And the first one is this. He says, stand firm in one spirit and mind. Okay? So to stand firm, okay, that's the idea of to hold one's ground or to maintain a position. Okay? So something like this. Fred, can you stand up for me? Come out here. Okay? Push me over. Okay? Oh, come on. Ah! Okay, he can. If I want to stand firm against that, okay, push me over now. This is standing firm, okay? It's not allowing somebody to push me back. Okay, thank you. Okay, if I wanted to be easily pushed over, what am I going to do? I'm going to stand on my feet together. I'm going to be like, and he'll come up and just touch me, and I'm going to fall over, okay? But if I lower my center of gravity, if I put my stance like this, I mean, he can eventually, of course, push me over, but it's going to be a lot harder, okay? So the idea that Paul is talking about here is getting your stance ready and not giving in, not backing up, not being off balance, okay? That's to hold one's ground or to maintain a position, okay? And we see standing firm all throughout Scripture, okay? Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm. So that when the devil attacks, I'm not going to move, okay? Not only do we have the armor of God on, but we stand in a stance ready to use it, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, okay? Again, keep your stance such that you can withstand the attack, okay? So one of the things that standing firm implies is a force coming against you, okay? This is from John. Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours. It's this idea that the world is against us. And this is nothing new. We all know this, okay? And who is the ruler of the world? Satan is, okay? So there is an opposing force, which really makes me worried for those who don't believe there's a devil, okay? If you don't believe there's a devil, you're going to be caught severely off guard, okay? But we know there is. And so Paul says the first way you live a life worthy of the gospel is to stand firm. Okay. I've told you this story before, but there's a family that many of us know out by Whitewater that their business has come under attack because they refused to, or they didn't refuse service, but they shared that their belief was that marriage is between a husband and wife, between a man and a woman, and two ladies wanted to get married, and these two ladies didn't take that very well. Okay, and so what I've heard from this couple is that they got all sorts of emails and phone calls and news reporters and everything else going out and questioning and attacking them. Okay, they've had threats of violence. They've had threats of demonstrations at their place. They've had all sorts of things. And sometimes it's not the physical threat that's so dangerous. It's the threat of the physical threat. Okay? Okay, will it happen? Won't it happen? What do we do to have to be prepared? How is this going to affect things? Okay? It has been very, very hard for them. But I'm very proud of them. And amazed and grateful for their witness to the area because they stood up for what the Bible says is right. Okay? The Bible is very clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay? But they've been attacked, yet they have stood firm. Okay? What's crazy about all this is a lot of the emails are coming not even from people in this area. Okay? But the group, the LGBTQ group, is so well organized that they're getting emails from all over the country, even all over the world, people who really don't even know the organization, what happened. But you don't know that when you get the emails. Okay? But they have chosen to stand firm. And so that's a great example of holding your position. Okay? And I'm afraid I see this all over the place where positions keep getting eroded. Okay, we're here, we take a step back and another step back. It's not that we're going to be pushed over all at once. It comes over time. Okay? But Paul says, one way to live a life worthy of the gospel is to stand firm, to stand true on what you know is biblical and right. Okay? So that's one way to live a life according or worthy of the gospel. Another way is this. To strive side by side for the gospel. Okay, we see this here in verse 27 and 28. Okay, he says, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Okay. What does that mean? Okay, the definition really is to work together with someone while going through a struggle. Okay, and I think of armies. Okay, a picture of here of the U.S. military force, but the idea of standing side by side with a brother or sister in a line defending a line. I think of it back to Roman armies, Persian armies, where they would literally link their shields, okay, into a unified wall. It's that idea, okay, to strive side by side, not on our own, okay, but together with a group. What are the advantages of this? Okay. When you're working to advance the gospel with another, and this is what Paul says, working to advance the gospel, you can defend each other from accusations. You can reinforce each other. Use each other's strengths to offset your weaknesses. Care and encourage one another. Problem solve, advance together. I mean, hopefully most of us realize that the older we get, the less we know. How many would say that? The older you get, the less you know. Okay, there's probably a few in here who say the opposite, but hopefully not. And it's true, okay? And one of the things I've realized as I get older is I just can't do things on my own. When I was young like these guys, I thought I could do everything, okay? Titus, Everett, Owen, Alex, they're like, the world's mine. I can conquer everything. Older I get, I'm not much good at conquering much at all by myself, okay? That's why we work together. That's why we need each other. Okay? One of the things that's interesting here is that, do you realize there are 59 commands in Scripture that include the phrase one another? Paul say, care for one another, encourage one another, lift each other up. Okay? Challenge each other. 59 of them. Okay. That's a lot. I listened to a guy from the South teaching on this passage. And he said, in this passage, do you realize the you is plural? He says, this is not the Southern y'all. This is the Southern all y'all. Okay? So it's everybody. Okay? The whole group. And that's what it is here. It is the whole group working together. It's interesting. If we go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. Do I have that? Yes, here. There's something very interesting about this passage. Now, this is when Jesus asked Peter who he is. And in Matthew, we get a little bit more than we do in the other Gospels. And in 15, he says to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Okay? That last phrase, the gates of hell should not prevail against it. I always thought that it is the church in a city, and Satan is attacking it, and it's a defensive position. Okay, the church, Satan can't get into the church. That's not the meaning of this. The church is not in a defensive position. The church is in an offensive formation. Okay? You look at the Greek, okay, there's an aggressiveness to this. It's the idea that the church is going forward and Satan keeps getting beaten back. He's not going to stop the church from going forward. Okay? And I think that's very, very important. Okay? Here, this is an old picture. You can see the boys are very young. This was part of our team in Rwanda. Okay, I do not know how people can go and be missionaries by themselves. Some can. They're off in their city or their area, and they're the only ones within a couple hours. I'd find that extremely difficult. Okay, this is three families, and you know, we supported each other and grew together and used our strengths together, cover weaknesses, things like that, okay? We need each other, okay? This is the church, okay? We need each other in this church. We're not just isolated Christians who can be effective, okay? We need the support and the encouragement and the prayers from each other. That's what we do, okay? That's what family does, and it's a family in Christ? Yes, that's what we're to do. Sometimes I like to watch old movies, war movies like Gladiator and other things, okay? What I find really interesting is in a battle scene, who are the people picked off first? The red shirts, yes. Okay? It's those that are by themselves. They're the ones that are picked off first, okay? But if a group stays together, they have a much better chance of succeeding, okay? And I think there's truth in that. Who does Satan go after? Who are the easiest believers to pick off for Satan? Those who say, I don't need anybody else, I can do well on my own. Because they're the weakest. They don't have the support of each other. But for believers who stay together and who challenge and equip and encourage each other, they're much harder for Satan to get after. Okay? And there's an important point there. Okay? So we need each other. So not only are we to stand firm in one spirit, okay, we are to be confident of what we believe and stand on it. And not only are we to strive side by side for the gospel, or do we need community? But there's one more, okay? I'll get back to that in a minute. The third is, do not be frightened in anything by your opponent, Okay, that's what Paul tells the Philippians. Okay? This idea of frighten, okay, of being scared, of being anxious, of almost being paralyzed in a sense. Okay? That's what we are not called to be. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Okay? So, for those of you who love basketball, okay, there's one position on a basketball court you never want to be in, and that's trapped by two big guys. Okay? What does it mean to be trapped? Alex? Huh? You're contained. Okay? The worst place to be trapped on a basketball court is between the end line and the sideline, or the half-court line and the sideline. Because you've got a boundary there, you can't cross the boundary here. You've got a guy here and a guy here. Or girls, excuse me. So, you are trapped. You are boxed in. Okay? What is the tendency, what is your tendency in that situation? Well, if you have your mind about you, time out. Otherwise, it's like, oh, shoot! And, you know, you generally will get a turnover. Okay? Because you can't figure your way out of it. Okay? That's being trapped in basketball. Okay? And that's a frightening position. But Paul says, don't be frightened. Okay? Don't be frightened. Be wise. Be sensible. Okay? What's the best way to get out of a trap? One, don't get in it. Okay? That's always helpful. Two, pass through it. Okay? Get it out of there. Maybe you can dribble through it. But get out of there as much as you can. Okay? And this is the idea. Okay? When Satan comes and he attacks, or in this case, the Philippians, when they're getting attacked by these loyalists to the empire, they're not supposed to get all frightened and flustered and upset. Okay? Paul says no. Okay? Think well. Respond well. Be confident. Okay? Stand firm. Use your community. Okay? Don't be frightened. Be confident. Okay? Be confident in what you know and in what you believe. So let's go back here to this question. What is the difference between playing to win and playing not to lose? Okay? Someone else, what's the difference? Okay. Being prepared. Is there a difference between the two? Yes, there is. Playing not to lose is defensive. It's like, okay, I don't want to make any mistakes. I'm not going to try to score. I'm just going to hold the ball. How many of us have seen teams lose when they were trying not to lose? Yeah, it happens, okay? Playing to win is a controlled aggressiveness. You're going to keep doing what puts you in the position to give you the lead in the first place, okay? You're not going to be dumb with the ball. You're going to be smart, but you're going to look to score, okay? That is playing to win. And Paul says, don't play not to lose. Okay, don't play all defensive and worrisome and just try to, you know, not give any ground. Don't do that. Go forward. Okay? Go forward. And especially with the Philippians and with us, we have the gospel. I mean, let's not just protect the gospel. We don't have to protect it. Jesus gave it. Okay? Move forward. Okay, the culture keeps coming against us. Society keeps coming against us. We can dig in our heels and hide. We can play not to lose. But we got a world full of people who are going to hell if we don't share with them the gospel. Go forward. Okay? Do it together, side by side, standing firm in what we know to be true. Okay? It's important. Okay? A couple more things Paul talks about. And this is kind of a transition to next week. Verses 29 to 30, Paul tells the church that it is their privilege to suffer for the sake of Christ, which is kind of an oxymoron, but it is biblical and true. Living a life worthy of the gospel does not mean the situation will change. Doesn't. Okay? The Philippians, they were in a difficult situation. Living a life worthy of the gospel will not change that situation. Okay? They're still going to get attacked. They're still okay? But it changes their perspective on it. Okay? But as we live faithfully, Paul says, we will identify with the sufferings of Christ and be changed as a result. Okay? But we've missed an important question. I think it's the base question that we need to ask. Okay? And this is the question Paul gets to in the next chapter. And we'll look at it next week. Why should we? What is our motivation to stand firm with the gospel? What is our motivation to strive side by side for the gospel? What is our motivation, okay, to not be frightened in anything by our opponents? Okay? What's driving us? Okay? That's next week. Okay? But today, Paul says to be offensive, in an offensive position. To live a life worthy of the gospel means that we stand firm, that we're not easily pushed over. Okay? That we have the truth and we're to stand firm in it. To strive side by side. We need community. We need each other. Okay? Hopefully no one here feels like they have to do it on their own. Okay? There is strength in numbers, in community. And then we're not to be frightened. We're to be confident. Because God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of confidence, of power, and of self-discipline. Okay? He is inside of us. If we have God inside of us, what can stand against us? Nothing can stand against the Lord. Therefore, nothing can stand against what the Lord does, ultimately. Okay, so move forward. And that's how we live a life worthy of the gospel according to Paul. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. And I pray that you would help us to stand firm in the gospel. Do we believe that what we believe is really real? Okay, and will we stand firm in it when doubts come, when accusations come, when persecutions come? Let us get a solid stance and not be easily pushed over. Lord, may we see the value and the importance of community and not give it up because it might be difficult or there's issues that come up, Lord, but to seek to work through those so that we can maintain and we can grow in our community and our friendships, our those that strive, that push us forward, that bring us back to you. Lord, and that we would not be frightened, but we would be confident in knowing what we believe and knowing that you are living inside of us and that nothing can stand against you. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that, and we give you much thanks this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Can you stand for our last song?
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse. safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.